Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, guys? You are now tuned into the Perfectionist After Show, episode 8, season 1. Today we have a jam-packed show. Operation Takedown Dana Booker is in full effect, and we have a special guest. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now let the buzz begin.
I like this. What's up, guys? We are back with another after show for The Perfectionist. And before we even begin anything, as you can see, we have a special guest. We have Noah Gray KB, a.k.a. Mason. Thank you for coming. We are so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I'm so excited. I managed to get past the traffic on the 14.
Yeah.
It's the first hurdle. So, yeah, I'm in a good mood.
If you were here, we're on time. It's perfect. And then, of course, I can't forget about my lovely co-host, and we also have a new addition to our family, Shay.
I'm not new, but hi, guys.
I said also.
I know.
We know who Shay is, and then just we have Alice. Say hey.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm super excited to be here, and I'm excited that Noah is here. It's going to be an awesome show.
You chose a great day to come.
I did.
But, okay, so, yeah, yesterday's episode was literally filled with a lot. Like, last week, I was like, I feel like it wasn't enough, but they brought it all last night's episode. So we have to talk about Dana Booker. We have to talk about Dana Booker. We have to talk about this whole takedown situation. What were you guys' overall thoughts on that whole situation?
Yes, please. I'm so sick of you. I'm using... yeah, I have to use different words because this is YouTube. But you guys know what I mean. So, yay. But I love the fact that Mona said, don't you think it's funny that the thing you hate, you become?
That was one of my favorite lines.
That was so brilliant.
Wait, that was one of my favorite lines, but that was so harsh.
But it's true.
I was like,
I have no sympathy. I'm sorry.
No, I get it. I get it. We have no sympathy, but you can't lie. That was a low blow. Like, she just said that her sister killed herself from bullying, and then you throw something like that. Like, I get it. She has been a bully.
She said, sorry. She said, I'm so sorry that this happened to you.
But we know that that was a sarcastic sorry. And then I just feel like it was just really tough. And at the end of the day, we don't like Dana, but she's doing her job, technically.
Thank you.
Right?
Her job is to one fine who killed Nolan. Cool. To blackmail, try to pretend you somebody's daddy who's still missing, you know she ain't got no family, that's wrong.
Okay.
So the way she's going about her job is wrong.
But we already knew that because that's why she got let go. So I just feel like we just know that this is the kind of person that she is. This is the kind of energy that she brings.
Okay.
And it still was not okay for her to say that regardless of how she tries to figure out her cases.
I'm gonna sit
but we know Mona. I mean, every time you think Mona is going to be like, say something like really nice, then she's like, no, just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like ruthless
well,
right now.
She
I'm
did.
Like, oh, she's going to be like
well,
really
she snuck
nice
into
right
her
now,
house and
like,
left
no.
some cupcakes. You kind of deserve it. I'm sorry
yeah,
to
exactly.
say this.
Actually,
you came to my own place of peace, and you disturbed it.
I don't know. What do you think, Noah? I mean, it's weird because you're a part of the show, but, like, what was your opinion when you first found out?
I was like, ooh, that did, I agree, that stung a little bit.
It stung.
You know, she's trying to do her job. They're not making it very easy.
Yeah.
If I were her, I'd be a little confused. I'd be like, what the hell is going on?
But she does, and I would be confused too, but she does such a good job at staying on top of them. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't see her sweat. Like, if anything, we see them sweat more than she does.
I mean, when it's Dana and Mona, or even Dana and Allison, I'm just like, because you're playing with kids, they've been around a block, so they got you.
Right.
So I love that aspect of you can actually see the two distinct differences when she's dealing with them.
You can. Okay. But let's dive deeper into this whole Operation Takedown, Dana. So on this episode, it was Staff Facility Appreciation Day.
Faculty.
Wow. Did I say facility?
Yeah.
You guys know that.
Sorry.
It was Staff it's Faculty Day. Sorry. And they had like this mixer thing going around where everyone was bouncing around at the tables and they were getting to know each other. But of course, the whole purpose for them was to take down Dana. Did you think that was a smart plan? I feel like they didn't get much out of her besides the crazy, message she said to her. But how did you guys feel about their approach to the beginning approach to taking her down?
I mean, it's smart. The only way you can know your enemy is if you have information. So okay. You need the information to be able to take down your opponent at the end of the day.
Okay, but do you think she came in a little soft? Like, I thought she was going to get right to it, but
I mean,
she...
her questions are a little bit psychologically, they're sound. Because okay. They are non-threatening, and you wouldn't really see anything by it. But Mona's questions are so deliberate that they're for a reason. They're not just throwaway questions to be asked.
Yeah, and I don't think there was any way Dana would have known she was trying to, you know, get any information out of her with those questions. So I think they're good questions. I actually really liked that scene because it was like they were speed dating.
Yeah.
That's what I put in my notes, speed dating.
It just kind of was like funny like scenarios with everyone, which I enjoyed. But yeah, it was a weird, I guess, thing to have to do with Dana at that moment.
Yeah, so like even with that, like I don't know. I was taken by a surprise by it. I thought Mona was going to come full force and she was going to give her the heavy-hitting questions. I didn't know that this was going to be prolonged throughout the episode.
Well, they need to know why she, how she is, because she is. And the person, why did you join the FBI? Okay, that's what's driving you to now, to you become, and it's also corrupted you at the same time.
I don't know. Do you guys think that she showed stress in her voice, though? Because they never really answered that question, you know, with the recorder that Taylor had. Because that's what that was supposed to show, was the, like, fluctuations and the stress in your voice.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that they really answered.
There are blue dots on the...
There were,
So maybe because we don't know the specificness of the analyst.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming those what that meant, like the fluctuation or the dots.
Yeah.
I want one of those, by the way.
I do too.
I know, right? Is that a real thing?
No, it was actually really cool because you never think of that. Like, what if they called it a truth detector? Like, you never.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what it was. They said it was a stress analyzer.
But
truth detector.
That's exactly what it was. But yeah, that approach was cool. And then like, okay, I'm not gonna lie. I really thought Dylan like just went ahead and just were like, forget you guys, my future is more important. Well, first of all, we talked about how Dana always pops up in his house.
First of all.
For one. That was crazy.
That is disrespectful. I am sorry. Who gave you a key to my place and why are you just chilling in it? I have so many issues with Dana for personal space.
But
like,
she gets
place.
Into everyone's apartment. It's insane.
It's crazy.
She's got like a skeleton key. Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
I'm like, do I need to put an extra lock on this door so you cannot enter? Like, what do I need to do to protect myself?
And then insult to injury, she was like, I hope you don't mind. Actually, JK.
I don't care.
Yeah. What?
That's cool.
That's where she crosses the line.
No, she crossed the line when she told Dylan that you don't fight back. You don't have it in you. And just if you just told me that, I'm going to prove I have it in me. Do fight back. Because you messed with the wrong person today.
Yeah. Well, either way, I don't know. Did you guys think Dylan had really betrayed them? You didn't think so?
I did.
No, I did too.
I was like, oh my God, he totally flipped. I was like, this is terrible.
No, the only reason I didn't is because they know that Dana has info on him. They know, so it only works for her to see this big spectacle in a place she expects to see them, just chilling creepily in a corner, sitting at a table, just grinning like she it. Like, I'm sorry, that was creepy. Why are you just like smiling?
I don't know. Dylan has this episode, he had a lot on the line. Like,
true.
He was risking becoming expelled. And, well, now we know at the end of the episode, he still is at risk. So I was truly convinced that he was ready to take them down, get his name cleared, and go on about his life.
No, I was too. I totally was like, okay, well, he wants to stay in school. He's throwing him under the bus. That sucks.
I think the turning point for him was the fact that she said that he didn't stand up to Nolan. So at that moment for him, I might not have stood up to Nolan, but I'm about to stand up to you. So now we have to make a plan.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I could think of it. If you're telling me I'm weak, I'm just about to prove to you how strong I am today. Because I don't have
like
time
a warning.
For it.
Duly noted.
Real, like, that was just, that crossed the line for me. First of all, like, that's one of his insecurities, too, the fact that he never stood up to Nolan when he was alive. He just never did it, and he couldn't pull himself to do it, but now that he's dead, and now you're trying to be another Nolan, I don't think I got time for you today.
That's right.
Yeah, she's
what
just
are your
as
thoughts?
Manipulative.
Did
as
you?
Problems.
I mean, like again, you're a part of the show, but like,
yeah, I knew it was gonna happen.
Like, you know, it's gonna happen. But I mean, like, I don't know. What were your thoughts on the writer's approach to this whole scene and how they spent it?
I mean, I thought that it was very in keeping with Dylan's character. You know, he's a cool guy. He always that's one of the things I love about how Eli plays the character is that he's like really calm, but he's able to express a lot. Even though his energy is always very calm. So I felt like it was really in keeping with his character that he wouldn't just, you know, throw his friends under the bus like that.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's cool. Well, again, he proved himself. He proved that he was a part of this friendship that they have, you know, officially created because we were worried in the beginning that it was never going to happen. And they get the right. Oh, we're going to get into that. But, you know, Dylan came through and they got her on, you know, the phone and they're getting ready to set her up or whatever. And boom, I think we may finally have something. What do you guys think?
I have to say, oh my gosh. No, it's gonna be like as long as Mona and Mason are from her bed, then yeah, we're gonna have something. But yeah, we're gonna have some.
Okay.
I'm drinking Coke right now and the sugar's getting to me.
That's okay. Well, before we go ahead and get into our next topic, we want to go ahead and tell you guys how you can stay connected with us. Alice, do you want to go ahead and share that information?
I sure do. Awesome. Guys, we're excited. Well, first of all, we're so thankful that you guys are here watching us. And we just want to say a big thank you to all of you for making us the ESPN of Talk TV and for helping us continue to grow. But there's one thing that we need your help with, and that's making sure that you subscribe to us on YouTube and make sure you comment. We also would love it if you give us a rating on iTunes and give us a review. Being part of AfterBuzz has meant a lot to me, and I'm sure it has for you ladies, too. And it's really been such a fun component of my life for the last couple of years. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that is watching and that's part of us here at AfterBuzz TV. And I also want to actually take a moment to just say hi to everyone in the chat right now. And I know everyone is very excited that you're here.
So if you want to just say, hey,
AfterBuzzers to all of them.
What's going on, AfterBuzzers?
Because we've got a lot of people in the chat right now super excited that you're here.
A lot of Peter's saying, please give us a shout out. Give us questions that we can ask. We want you guys to be a part of the conversation.
Definitely.
Like Alice said, we love you guys. We love the conversations. We love the likes and
the theories, the comments.
All of that. We love it. And we can't do this without you guys, so thank you.
And they're fighting for you in the chat. Mason is innocent.
We were worried, but Mason is innocent.
I don't know, but now like I have questions about that too, but that's for later.
Continue. Yeah, it's for later. Okay, but so now let's talk about Jeremy.
Yes.
Jeremy played a major role this episode. We knew something was coming. We kind of predicted it. You said we can't trust, you know, we can't trust his type.
British. We can't just trust the British.
I didn't want to say it, but we can't trust his type. So what were you guys' reactions about, like, you know, the whole computer thing, how Ava noticed he had crazy things going on, and then he confronts Caitlin if she had been in his computer. The next thing we know, he's damaging it, throwing it in the river. A lot going on. What were you guys' reactions to that?
Could have cleared his search history, man.
I was so confused. Why did you need to take a power drill? Like, two times in two different just
if you're gonna
and then
destroy
toss
a computer
it.
Though that's the way to do it you gotta
apparently
you gotta give it to him. I mean that's some that thing is not
that's
not
dedication
after that. Yeah
that
he's gotta be some sort of like spy either for the government works for the CIA because the only reason you need to drill a hole in your laptop is if you have like very very highly sensitive
information. My brother-in-law works for the NSA, and that's the kind of stuff he does.
So she knows. She knows what to look for. He's like, let me move over.
Yeah, extra nice.
No, but that, I mean, that whole scene in general was crazy, but it takes me back to, it wasn't last week's episode. It was a couple of episodes before where Kaylin had actually met up with Claire, and Jeremy was also there, too. I don't remember what they had going on. Do you guys remember that
Claire
whole situation?
Jeremy,
yeah. Do you think that's tied with this whole...
Yeah, like, what were they meeting about?
Yeah,
I was wondering that, too.
She approved his grant for whatever he wrote to her. I don't know what
for
the,
whatever he's doing.
Yeah, whatever he's
that
doing
company
that he well, that whatever within the company he's doing that he needed, he required a grant. He needed money to fund it.
Well, I bet you it's something with Beacon Guard, but yeah. Maybe on a global scale.
Maybe
that's I can
terrifying.
See that.
That is terrifying, right? They're layering everyone's mirror.
I've been like.
Black mirror.
Come find me, because I got time for you today. Like, but, that's the, and that was so, I'm sorry. You're looking at me through a public restroom. That is such a violation. Like, you're not supposed to be able to do that.
Right?
The one place that's supposed to be safe anywhere, no matter what cameras, is the bathroom.
At when Mona admitted that, and like they just said, like, you know, no one knows, that kind of made me worry. Like, are other, you know, establishments, do they have hidden cameras? Or,
well, be careful in your Airbnbs, people. That's all I have to say.
Right?
Wow.
Interesting. Oh, that's okay. That reminds me of a movie that actually
to get
had
off
that.
On a side track.
Somebody tried to get away with murder, and the Airbnb cameras caught everything. It was awesome.
Oh, wow. Okay. but yeah, so with that, do you guys think, you know, that meeting with Claire and then this whole thing with his laptop, do you think that intertwines, or what are you guys expecting from this situation? Because, I mean, he basically kidnapped Kaylin. Like, he's like, you have to come with me. You shouldn't have been here. So I don't know. It sucks because we finally feel like they've gotten out of this hole, and then here comes Kaylin, just had to travel and follow him to the woods, and now she's back in whatever hole that Jeremy has going on.
She could have stayed where she was. Personally, that was just me. If you don't see nobody, why did you move? Like, you need to just... You can
Ray,
wait.
He's
you can
gone.
Wait, come
let
home.
Me go to the car.
Look, yo, let me go search the car. He's gone. Where he went in the woods, I don't know, but I'm going to go search the car. No, I won't say what I want to say. Yeah, no, you should stay behind a tree. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
I will say that the technology that they have, even the stuff that Taylor knows about, is, like, so high-tech that I would not be surprised if they were selling it to, like, the government or someone.
Because she said
very...
it was military-grade. And if you have anything military-grade, you're working some, like, maybe DOD.
Government contractors.
DOJ, something. And maybe, like you said, maybe Claire is going to try to sell it for the government so they can use it to spy.
And maybe that's who Jeremy works for.
Yeah.
Maybe. Secretly.
I don't know. But
he's definitely up to something.
He's up to something, and I'm super excited to figure out whatever that something is next week.
Yes.
But speaking of Taylor, I did want to get into Taylor and Claire's relationship. So we kind of saw, you know, well, we know that, you know, she's back, and the teacher's appreciation day mixer, whatever you wanted to call it, was her first appearance there, and, you know, she's doing well. But she catches her mom doing an interview, pretty much talking about the changes that she made, and she's pretty much using Taylor, again, she's using Taylor's situation to make Beacon Heights, you know, the mm-hmm. college that it's supposed to be. What were you guys' thoughts on their relationship and how all of that happened?
I think it's shaky, but I also feel like what Claire was trying to do was to change the narrative. That my daughter, like, even though my daughter committed suicide, maybe now I can save somebody else's child, and trying to just change the narrative to hopefully also move away from the suicide angle. Was she wrong? Yeah. But, I mean, I can understand why she was doing it.
Okay, what do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe, I think she obviously sees that so many people are under so much pressure to be perfect that she needs to make school less about being good at everything and maybe, you know, factor in other important things about school, which we don't know what those would be, but...
So you guys think it was genuine?
I mean, I don't think anything she does is genuine.
I don't think so
there's
either.
There's definitely a hidden reason, but
I
think...
But she's also a mom, which I kind of feel like is in the description of that.
Right, so. But we've talked about that. We've talked about how Claire has not shown us mom qualities throughout this whole season. I mean, Taylor was, you know, she died or whatever, and we never just really saw her really mourn that. And then when Nolan died, she was still just, you know, I'm the
head
person
in charge.
She got
drunk in Ellie's house.
Okay, but I mean, it was. I feel like that was an act.
I
so,
did too.
Yeah. So really? Yes. Yeah. So okay. For now, all of a sudden, for her to have this, like, you know, at peace space, and how she's so into making all of these changes, I think something is up with that, and I don't think it was genuine, and I think Taylor had every right to, you know, storm off and go off on her the way she did.
I mean, I don't disagree. I definitely think Claire's up to something. What it is, I do not know.
Okay.
Only because, like, she just has like the face that's just always planning something. Like, and she's like, she has to be the smartest person in the room type, like, vibe that you just get off her. And, like, I just know better than everybody.
Also, I mean,
she does.
Well, she also has to know that Beacon Guard is, like, while she says that it's protecting everyone, it's also very dangerous and, like, over the top. But she's the one in charge of it all, so... You know, it's like everything that she says has like a like double meaning almost,
yeah.
You know, because she's like, well, I'm telling this to you, but in the back, behind the mirror.
And while we're going to strive, we're going to not try to strive for perfection. We're still going to try to strive for perfection. We just won't say it anymore.
And I need to see more of that, we've only seen it a few times, but that whole like, the room with all the computers, the whole,
the space where Beacon Guard kind of is held.
Yeah, like, the Beacon Guard, like, main headquarters. You know, who are all the people in there? What are they really doing?
I agree. But what also caught, like, what surprised me was, okay, like we just said, you know, Claire and Taylor had their whole little incident. And then at the end, after, you know, after they did this big, you know, hoorah, they got Dana on tape, she wanted to be the one to deliver it to Claire. What do you think that's about? I mean, they had already fallen out. She's realized her mom is still the same, but yet she wants to be the one to deliver this news to her. Why does she think she owes something to her? Is she trying to get one step ahead of them? What do you think? Because we can't really trust Taylor. I mean, Mona had made it clear this episode we can't trust her. So, I mean, what are your thoughts?
I thought you'd be taller. I love that.
Oh, she was talking to me. I'm like, what?
I love that line. She's just like, you're just so, so short. I was just like, really? I mean, granted, like, she is. But, like, I mean, because you're looking down at her. But for real, I want to trust Taylor. A part of me really wants to trust her. And I actually think part of it is what she said. If I am the one to deliver this to my mom, maybe, you know, I can help us that way. But it's still skeptical for me. Mm-hmm. Where I'm at with Taylor right now. Because really, the look she was giving Allie, I'm just like, so are you jealous? Are you about to pull, like, some American Psycho 2 info? I'm just really, I want to kind of know what's in the headspace of that. So I'm kind of lost where Taylor's concerned.
Yeah, I guess I'm confused on Taylor, too, because we don't know that much about her. But obviously, it seems like she's kind of the brainchild behind Beacon Guard from how much technical knowledge she knows and, like, how much she knows about hacking and, like, computer systems and, like, mm-hmm. even the phone thing to do the, you know, the stress test or whatever we want to call it. So, yeah, I think she is a lot more involved in maybe setting up Beacon Guard than we think. And I'm sure she has a hidden agenda as well.
And if I was Mona, I would have two copies, just in case. Yeah. I always have a backup.
Always. Just saying. Yeah. I don't know, Noah, what do you think? Are we on the right track, or what is your...
He's like, I can't say nothing.
I'm going to Chadwick Boseman you right now. I'm just like...
Oh, no.
No, I think it's cool. One of the things I've enjoyed about the show is how much they do bring technology into it. Every character seems to have, like, a unique skill set, and a lot of those characters seem to possess some kind of technical, you know, aspect that allows them to sort of enter in this pseudoscience world where sort of like anything's possible. And I think the writers have done a really good job of like incorporating that into the show to just, you know, widen the horizons of what's possible. So I've enjoyed that a lot, definitely.
Well, and speaking of special skills that people have incorporated, you and your piano playing.
Yeah, yes. That was fun. That was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if everyone that's watching knows, but he is like a world-class pianist and has performed all over the world. It's absolutely incredible. So.
No, yeah, so I used to play a lot more when I was little, and we were chatting and, you know, just sat down one day, and someone brought it up, and they were kind of like, oh, piano. So I started to brush up, and sure enough, yeah, they put it into one of the episodes, which was awesome because I haven't gotten to do that for a while. So
I enjoyed it.
I didn't know.
Early aughts, you mean?
What's up?
Not since the early aughts. My wife and kids.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm like,
course.
We that saw
was, that. Like, my whole, yeah, that was like all I did. So it was nice. I actually think I might have played the same piece on there when I was little at one point, maybe. So I'm like,
that's a recheck. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Watch all the episodes again to find out. He's right.
But yeah, no, that was a blast. They had a sweet piano too, actually. It's a bonus.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, okay. I'm ready to get into the juicy stuff that happened in this episode.
We haven't been doing that.
It's been juicy, but listen.
Now the down and dirty.
Should we say the down and dirty?
Let's save that for last.
So we'll do that. So let's talk about these romances that happen on this episode. Let's start with Allison. Allison was like, full Stella got her groove back this episode. Yes. She met, you know, the teacher, Gabriel.
Sexy accent, like.
You know, she met him at the mixer. They were just trying to take down Dana Booker. Who knew she was going to, you know, walk out with a little house date or whatever. What were you guys' thoughts on that whole, we later learned the real him, but what were you guys' overall thoughts on her little hookup?
I thought it was so nice. The ballroom dance was just, there's something about ballroom dancing. I haven't danced ballroom in like years. I did it for 5 years. But there's just something about it. There's an energy. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I loved that scene. Like, it just, it makes me smile. Because dancing, like you said, it should be fun. But then to find out, I was like, I don't know, if I was outside, I'm like, girl, that might be the perfect thing for you. He's always you wanted no drama. Like, that should be perfect. I'm just saying.
That's fair.
Considering the fact she wanted no drama. Open relationship, he won't be here long. You good.
Yeah, I just wrote down on my paper, ooh la la.
It's amazing.
You say, ooh la la.
Yeah. No, I thought it was quite interesting. I mean, it was just cool to see kind of Allison relax. I feel like she's just been so on edge since she's gotten, you know, gotten there. She got there and realized she was involved in something beyond her. And then, you know, she took on the students and, I don't know. It was just really cool to see her relax. Now, I personally was like, red flag when he was like, oh, I'm in an open relationship. But, I mean, it was cool to see her, like, you know, relax. Like, she needed that moment. She needed it.
Well, I mean, because the last dude she got with tried to kill her. So, yeah, she needed it. I'm just saying.
I did find it funny, though, that, you know, he came over, they're starting the lesson, or the dance that turns into the dance lesson, and they have, like, this full, like, cheese board, and they're drinking wine, and then she's like, okay, well, I have to go, so.
I'm kind of ready to go there, but I'm not ready yet. Yeah. It was God, thank you for the reminder real quick. I need to go back to the children, tend to them.
That, I don't know, but Allison, I mean, you try, girl, but I don't know, I feel like they're going to keep it going. I think it's going to, I don't know.
She was kind of
shocked in the beginning, but
they'll get involved together.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But okay. Also, so let's talk about Ava and Zach.
Oh, so cute. It was hashtag Zava. I am so here
hashtag,
for it.
That was the cutest hashtag. But you know, as we know, they've had kind of a rocky relationship, learning, you know, the past of how, you know, pretty much her family ruined Zach's life. So to see them kind of bond over the project they did and how they got 100%, and for her to laugh, and it brought back memories of Nolan, then she kind of put it all together like, whoa, maybe I'm feeling Zach. What were you guys' thoughts on just that whole situation?
I liked it. When, you know, she was drunk, he came over. I actually thought he wasn't going to leave. I thought he was going to hug her for a moment. But then I was like, no, Zach, don't go. Like, stay, fight, do something. I don't know. Help her do it. It was just such a sweet and somber moment. I really wish he stayed instead of leaving. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she needed to work through her own, you know, demons.
He was getting some mad mixed signals, though. You got to feel for him. Yeah. I would have peaced, too.
And then she kind of, like, just stopped in a gaze. And he's like, all right, look, I'm going to let you finish, and we'll catch up later.
Exactly. Yeah, I think they're really cute together. And even in the last episode at the fashion show, I mean, he was kind of a dick. But, like, at first, they, like, locked eyes, and it was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, wait, I know who you are. You know, screw off. But I think they're really cute together.
I think they're adorable.
Yeah. I do too. I'm here for it. Like, I don't know, I just had a feeling this was gonna happen. But I think it's cute. I think she finally needs to, you know, move on from Nolan. But I still feel like her past is getting ready to come back. I think her dad is gonna pop up, and I think that is what's gonna really twist up whatever relationship is going on or becoming of Ava and Zach. I think it's gonna eventually, you know, head downward, downhill. I don't know. My crazy predictions, but what do you guys think?
I like seeing the whole Nolan-Ava scenes, just to see that side of Nolan. I think it's like Caitlin said, she got the best version of who Nolan was.
She did.
Like, nobody else got that but Ava, and I think that was actually nice for him to, even before he died, to actually have a person like that, to be that person with.
But I also thought it was pretty interesting, because it's just like, yes, he was this way with her, but how can she still, you know, constantly be more, I mean, I guess you still mourn, but my views would change on this person that I was, you know, dating, seeing the kind of things that he's done to these other people. Like, he's really not a good guy. So she got that good glimpse of him, but me personally, I would have been like, this is not the man that I thought, you know, you were. So I kind of, it's interesting how she still kind of goes back and forth, knowing the kind of issues he's caused other people.
I mean, I think she's realizing it, but also you can't help who you love. Like, the heart, that too. The heart doesn't have no balance for that one. What?
No, it's true. It's true. I like what you're saying, though. You're like, no. You got to be healthy. You got
to
have all
to
you,
be
you
healthy,
know.
But when she said that literally brought me back, like, well, you're right. Love does change things. But what were your thoughts on that, Alice?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I, you know, obviously, and I don't know which episode it was, one or two, maybe, you know, when Caitlin tries to stand up to Noah, and not Noah, sorry. Too many ends. Yeah. But yeah, you never see Ava do that. But yeah. obviously it's a very complicated situation. She couldn't really do that in public because they would be questions raised. But yeah, you'd think that somewhere in her deep thoughts, she's got to be thinking about, like, well, he was, like, super manipulative to everyone else, but
yeah.
Nice to me.
I mean, I wouldn't be able... I wouldn't be surprised if he had other things going on with their whole,
and she kind of moved on. She put her past in a box. She has a little box of, like, her dad and, like, things Nolan has given her. It's kind of, like, putting it in a box and kind of just, like, trying to move on.
Yeah.
Like, if that was her way of, I'm releasing you now, as well to speak.
Maybe. Well, I don't know, but I think Zach and Ava, or what's the hashtag?
Zava
is cute, and, you know, we'll see what goes on from there. But, of course, the juiciest thing that happened, because you are the juicy news. Mona and Mason, now, you predicted this. I was like, this is not going to happen. They're not going to talk to each other. They're not going to, you know, but let's just dive into that. What was that about?
Okay,
how did you guys feel?
So, I legit wrote, like, during the whole chess game, like, this is like watching live foreplay. Like, no, seriously, I wrote it down, it's right here. Watching that chess game was like watching foreplay in action without, like, with your clothes on. I was seriously just like, dang. Okay, chemistry, yes. I'm just like here for
thank
it.
You.
What? I'm so
thank you.
My
pleasure. That was fun. We had to learn all those chess moves too, by the way.
So did you guys know how to play chess before this?
That was all fake. That was all fake.
Yeah, that was a question I had written down to ask you, actually, if you played chess.
No, yeah, not at all. Like, I know nothing about chess. It's funny, though, because, like, even Mason's screen name, like, he's, like, Bad Bishop. Like, I like to think that he's just online, like, yeah, this is how I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, he's got this whole other, like, smooth chess persona. I like to think that.
I don't know. That was hilarious. But, I mean, I didn't see it coming. How, like, with your character and, like, with how the season was going, did you expect that? Or just how did that all work out? How was that scene? I mean, because we talked about it. We talked about how smooth it was. Give us the deets on the evolution of Mason and Mona.
I mean, so, firstly, I did not expect it at all. You know, when I first saw the early scripts, I was like, all right, this guy, you know, he's, like, mean. He's real mean. And then as the show started to progress and, you know, you get into, like, episodes 3, 4 and stuff, I was like, damn, he's really mean. Like,
yeah.
Because there were some times when Mason was, like, doing some seriously, like, the cabin, for instance, to me.
Yeah, well, let's just go ahead and get into it then. We could just talk about Mason now.
I mean, for me, it was just, like, yeah, it was a big shock. It was definitely a big shock.
I'm just now interested, because technically you and Mona can't be together. I'm assuming because of, like, policy. But, I mean, I'm down for it. How you gonna sneak it?
You know, I thought about that, too, though. I'm like, faculty, student, how is that gonna work out? I mean, I guess this is college, quote-unquote.
I mean, you're technically of age. You're both grown, and technically she's only over admissions. I don't really know how much that affects like Mason's like school?
I've definitely known some girls that have dated their teachers in college. I thought it was weird, but they were like, there's nothing like against the rules about it. And I was like, okay. I guess as long as you're not taking their class.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm like, okay, if they're taking their class, it's totally different conversation. If they're not, then what they got to do with me? He can give me a grade.
I like how you're already formulating, like, the defense for, like, the ethics board. You're like, all right, listen.
Oh, Shay is always, like, 10 steps ahead. Like, yeah, literally.
No, seriously, that's why I love the show. The whole Queen Gambit thing is, I love the idea that the show is more of, like, in the way they're spacing out the show, is more of, like, it's a chess game.
Yeah.
In the versus, like, when it was A in Pretty Little Liars, this now is more of a pawn, bishop, everybody's a pawn, everybody's a bishop, everybody's a rook. Somebody's definitely a king, somebody's a queen. I'm loving the aspect of that. I also play chess. So,
oh, all right.
So in case anybody's wondering why I know
your help.
it was really confusing when you play chess at first. You're just like, what kind of... Oh, okay. But then I like the strategy of it. I like the getting into somebody's head, and I love the mind effing of it all. I'm weird, so...
Yeah, no. Well, going back into Mason's character, I'm not gonna lie, we were kind of like over Mason. Like,
yeah. Good. Yeah, you should.
I mean, you did well, but like in the beginning, I think I was saying like Mason is the killer. Like he is this. How was it? I guess just like getting into character and just preparing for this twist and turn. Because now, I mean, we originally thought that he was the bad guy, but now he's transitioning into this, you know, soft guy. So I guess how was it making those transitions and just become the, like I said, evolution of Mason?
Yeah, because he made a quick turnaround.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was good. Like, so I thought that the scene between Mason and Caitlin when she's in the hospital is really like the marker from him turning a new leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved what the writers did, because in that scene you kind of hear Mason's explanation for like why he did everything that he did. And it, from my perspective, it basically seems like he worked really hard to get there, to Beacon Heights, mm-hmm. and he's been training his whole life, and he's been, you know, doing all these extracurriculars and just trying to do the best he can. And then he's, you know, friends with Nolan, who, you know, comes from a really affluent family, mm-hmm. and stuff, has a lot of things handed to him. So I can definitely understand the frustration that he had, especially making the transition from, like, high school to college. I definitely felt that. It doesn't justify, obviously, any of the crazy, crazy, crazy things he was doing, but
yeah.
I definitely understood how someone would kind of fall down a dark path.
Yeah, because we took it as, like, Mason is trying to become the next Nolan.
Right,
like,
exactly,
this, so, like, I guess we were clearly on track. We just did not understand what was going on with Mason. I don't know, what were you guys' opinions on his character?
I mean, after you finally explained it, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, no, you're not gonna be nice. Come on.
No, for real. I thought that makes a lot of sense. However, were you wrong? Oh, yes, I came for you. I have no reason to lie. However, people are never bad to be bad. There's a reason they're making bad choices, making mistakes. There's a reason behind it.
Absolutely.
And when you figure out what it is, as much as you would like not to understand, you can understand it. And you can... Yep. Like, shift your brain to think of it in a different way.
Yep, absolutely.
So I totally get why you would want to be the new Nolan, but I also felt it wasn't in your spirit as a character of who you are as a person.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I love how we're... I'm sorry, I'm just laughing because, like, this is clearly Mason, but not Mason. So we're like, because how you did this, and it's just like, that's not really him. But
I related it with your character.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, you should have told me 13 Reasons Why, and I had Justin up in here. I was like, this is not for you. This is for your character. I had to separate because I went in.
I definitely thought Mason in the beginning was the killer.
Yeah.
But we've had a lot of people tonight in the chat too, just saying how they didn't trust Mason at first.
Yeah.
But now they like
how sketchy
like him.
He was.
Yeah, how sketchy he was.
Sketchy is an understatement, man. Like,
I called you a red herring, though. I feel like they're just thrusting you at us to like so our like it's kind of like what magicians do. Like if you're looking right here, you're not noticing this over here. Like if you see, you won't see this. So
yeah.
I feel like it was very red herring-ish of it all.
Mm.
That's true.
Even Dana feels like a red herring. Even though I want her to go down that sewer.
Maybe Dana is the killer. Well, a lot of people in the chat are actually saying that they think Jeremy is the killer.
Really? Okay. What else are they saying? Do we have any questions or anything going on?
Jesse Jones had one earlier. if you don't mind me.
Yeah, go ahead.
She wanted to know, what was it like for you doing My Wife and Kids and now doing The Perfectionist?
I mean, they're basically the same show.
Are they?
I mean, you're kind of working on a Wayans project with, like, one of the most amazing, one of the awesome families of American.
Literally.
Incredible, yeah, incredible.
Cinema.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. The Wayans family, they're so talented and hardworking and just incredible. My Wife and Kids was such a fun experience. Like, every day was so much fun coming in to work, and they taught me a lot about just the nature of acting and, like, improv and stuff, which is really fun at that age, because I started the show when I was 6 turning 7.
Wow.
And I did it for, yeah, I was really, really little, so I did it for a few years. So that was really, like, sort of my foundation going into acting. This, you know, making the transition from child acting to adult acting now, it's very different, definitely very different. Like, for instance, the scene at the end of episode 8, first scene I done like that, man, like, I, you know, that was my first time doing that.
Really?
So, I mean, not
okay.
like that, but you know what I mean. No,
I get what
yeah, I mean, it's...
He's
it's,
like, let's be clear.
No, it looked a lot smoother, though, than
one-handed.
Yeah.
I'm still not over this one. Legit, I sat up in bed, like...
Take 10.
Okay. Yes, Mason.
Also, I was like, damn, Mona, moving quick. Because she was like, this isn't going to happen. And then she was like, yes,
Psych.
Come in. And
I mean, like, you're already in front of me. What else can I do? I'm just going to smile.
No, that's so funny. But, I mean, like, even getting into that, like, how is your chemistry with all of the other actors on set? Like, I know that scene in particular was probably kind
it's
of
different. Yeah.
Different
yeah.
But just, like, what is it like, you know, all working together on this show?
It's been amazing, to be honest. Like I said, I've never done anything like Pretty Little Liars Perfectionist before. Like, I've never done something sort of in this genre.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt very out of my depth going into it, not really knowing what to expect. And feeling just kind of, like, awkward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got to set, everyone was so nice and, like, down to earth and super welcoming that you kind of couldn't help but just, like, slip right into the groove, you know? So it was really nice. And, like, they have a lot of fun. Like, not gonna lie, they have a lot of fun. All those little snippets you see, like, when Dylan's, like, batting the little packing peanuts out of Ava's hands, like, all that stuff, it's pretty much, like, they could just leave the camera rolling, and that's the type of thing you'd see, seriously, so it was, it's been a lot of fun, and then, of course, like, the veterans were, like, just, you know, totally made me feel at ease, and were like, all right, listen, like, this is how it goes, so it was really, really nice.
What's it like joining the PLL army, because this is an army.
It is, yeah, they just have, like, little 13-year-old, like, warriors.
Warriors, that's
yeah,
so funny.
They are warriors. It's been amazing, to be honest. I love how, like, intense the fans are, and I love the fact that, like, they don't stop trying to figure out what's going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always a game to the fans, I think, and I think that's how it should be. I think you should always, you know, with a show like this, I think you should always be striving to figure out, you know, the next thing or what twist is going to happen, or, like you said, like, seeing those red herrings and being, like, you know, ignoring that or whatever. So it's, you know, I go on Instagram and stuff and see the fans commenting on everything. And it's really cool because, like,
they go deep
and
yeah.
like it works out because, like, a lot of people I've noticed have figured out a lot of things before, like, way before I even, like, realized they were going to
yeah.
happen. When I was reading the scripts, I'm like, you know that already? Like, so it's really awesome, to be honest. Yeah.
Sarah, season 2 in the works.
You know, I'm not, like, as far as that stuff goes, I'm, like, the least informed person, I'll tell you that much. Like, I'm not even trying to hide anything, I just don't know what's going on.
Well, we hope so. I mean, I'm just ready to see how this is all gonna end and play out, and I think it's gonna come back. I hope so.
I'm loving the fact that Mona's actually getting a love life, because even in the Pretty Little Liars era, it was just, oh, I'm A, and I have to now be A or not A, or be crazy Mona or be psych Mona, and now she actually gets to have a love life, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing what that looks like. So that's me.
Me too. No, I agree. So outside of Pretty Little Liars, well, The Perfectionist, do you have any other upcoming projects that you want to share, or
yeah.
what are you working on anything on the side? Just tell us about that.
Yeah, so I did a short film called The 11th Order that I'm excited
mm-hmm.
about. That's going to be premiering actually this next weekend, and it's an amazing story about two Marines who to make a long story short, they were stationed at a gate, and they were faced with the decision to run when a large truck packed with explosives came careening towards them, mm-hmm. or stay and face the truck and fire their weapons in an attempt to save their comrades that were sleeping behind them, essentially. Hmm. And it's an amazing story, and I was really, really proud of that. So that's going to be coming out soon. It's just a little short film, but really proud of it. Also, the reason why I was sporting the really, really short haircut on Pretty Little Liars.
So that wasn't just a part of it.
Yeah, it was a military cut.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you have to keep us up to date on that. We need
to know
what's going on. Are anyone saying anything else in the chat before we move on?
A lot of people want season two.
A lot of people want season two.
I mean, we got Jazzy, we got Aaron, we got Sarah Yu, I See You, Arun. You guys are awesome, and you're loyal, and we so appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys. So, do we have any news and gossip or special segments?
We have some news and gossip.
Okay, let's go ahead and get into it.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, like we said, we have some news and gossip. If you were not watching the Daytime Emmys, our girl, Hayley Aaron, won herself her Emmy for playing her role on General Hospital. This is a picture looking amazing with her win. She looks so beautiful.
Oh, she does. Yes.
And she like... I know you weren't here. She was just so nice.
I know. Oh, we talked, I wish I could have met her.
We talked a little bit. I talked to her a little bit about it because I was like, if you win, what are you going to do? She's like, I do that. I'm happy to be nominated. So the fact that she won, I'm just like, yay.
Yeah, she's super chill. She's super, super nice.
And now she's in Ireland, so she's great.
Oh, yeah.
Living her best life.
Yeah.
She's traveling, living the amazing European romance that we all wish we had.
Right.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for that, and congrats. That's amazing. I really wish I was here when you guys, had that after show, but it was great. You guys did a good job. Do we have anything for our special segment?
No special segment. I could come up with one.
Come up with it. We want something.
Put you on the spot.
I know, right? I didn't even think of one. Now I gotta think of one. Okay, guys, so for your Pretty Little Truth or Pretty Little Lie, is Taylor telling the truth about wanting to... give her mom the whatever voice
the information.
The information, because like I said, I did not write it down. So the information about Dana. Is she telling the truth or is she lying?
She's lying, and she definitely has a scheme, plot, or something going on.
I just want to be in the middle, and I can't. So I'm going to say lie. She's lying. But I don't know what she's lying about. So she could be telling the truth but also lying. It could legit be the same thing. You can tell the truth and tell a lie at the same time.
That's true. I think she's telling the truth, which is an ulterior
That's deep.
You have to think about it. Like,
I did.
You really can't tell the truth and tell a lie at the same time, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's telling the truth, but I think she has an ulterior motive, which I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've all come to an agreement. So with that, I guess let's just go ahead and get into some predictions, since we're already making a few.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
I always feel like I have to wait for that to end. Okay, so my prediction, I think that Jeremy has something going on with Claire, and Caitlin is getting ready to get in the mix with that, and I think there's going to be some betrayals going on. That's pretty extreme, but I think that's my prediction this week.
Dylan's going to find out Ava's secret about her money. Jeremy... definitely has something to do with Nolan's death. If he actually did it, that's questionable. But he's not, on the up and up. And I'm ready to see some old Mona and Mason, so.
Are we going to see more Mona and Mason?
I don't know. I had to ask. Nothing came out of these lips.
Oh, my predictions. You know what? Well, I feel like we don't have anyone that's a suspect now for Nolan's
death. Oh, we have
death.
Many suspects.
We do, but we don't. I don't know. I feel like we're going to get some more clues in this
what
next
if
episode.
Claire killed her own son?
That would be insane.
She's insane.
I have thought about that.
Wait a second. She's a little
she
insane.
Insane.
So.
Wow. I didn't think about that. That's a great prediction.
Thank you.
But I also think that Jeremy, Claire, and maybe even Caitlin's mom, one of them, might be in cahoots.
Oh,
it might be a whole, bigger government.
Bigger than we even think of.
Yeah.
Because why else? Because even Caitlyn knows the secret, but the only people who, even Claire knows the secret.
Yeah.
So, ooh, yep. Oh, we caught you.
Well, we will see. Well, it's been great having you on the show. Noah, you want to go ahead and tell the fans where they can find you on social media platforms, how they can find the short film that's coming out, and just anything else that you want to share before we go?
Yep. Not on Twitter right now, really. Instagram is Noah_GrayKB. Good luck trying to spell that. And yeah, that's. Oh, and the short film, I have no idea how to find it right now. But when I do, I promise I'll let you guys know.
Okay,
but it's called The 11th Order, and you should definitely look up the story because it's very amazing. And yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I've had an absolute blast. So thank you guys.
We're
really
so glad you're here. And where can we find you guys on social media?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Alice L. Ford and on Instagram at Alice's Adventures on Earth.
I love that handle, by the way.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
You guys can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me on Sunday at the Now Apocalypse finale. And don't forget to check out my YouTube channel, Unapologetically Shay.
Yes, and you guys can find me on all social media platforms at _TyraPrude, and you can catch me on Tuesday nights on The Voice After Show, Team Adam. See you guys Tuesday. And again, it's always a pleasure to be with you guys.
And we have people coming next week.
We have people coming. Yeah, go ahead and tease that.
We have two guests, so I mean, you got one at 6 and 7, so I mean, but I can't tell you who it is. They're a part of Perfectionist, though.
Uh-oh. As you have Medea on your hand. Okay. Well, it's been great chatting with you guys today, and see you next week. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.